Luke 24. The words of the angels to the women. He is not here, but he is risen. That's, I guess, the topic, the title for, I hope it will be a message, if the Lord helps, otherwise it'll just be a sermon. But anyway, would you bow with me as we seek His face? Our Father, and our hope this morning lies not in an event that took place over 2,000 years ago, though that was necessary. But our hope lies in the Christ that rose. And that He is and will accomplish all that He died to do. And I ask You, Father, to draw us nigh. Enable us to draw nigh. And grant us grace and mercy to walk with the living, resurrected Christ. Help these dear souls in particular, my conversation this morning was on things that pertain to life, but not necessarily spiritual. And maybe I shouldn't have been there. But I pray You'll clear everyone's minds and give us a quiet heart, mind, and give us the Spirit of God, for without Him, nothing shall be accomplished this day. Help these dear souls, and those that might later receive what I trust from Thee might be a message to their hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Toby, I'm sideways here, so I may mess up your focus back there. I don't know, but I had to get straight, and I'm sure Larry will correct me for not doing that before I got started, but I can handle that. Luke 24. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came to the sepulchre bringing the spices. They came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye living among the dead? He is not here, but risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. If you read on down a little farther, it said, and they remembered his words. So I don't know how a year, 2 years, 2.5 years earlier he had said that unto them. But the event brought back reality of his words to them. Now, the first day of the week, God honored that day. Seventh day, he rested. And there's a lot in Scripture, or much in Scripture, that has to do about the first day of the week. Paul said, let every one of you lay by in store as God has prospered you upon the first day of the week. Now, I didn't intend on doing this, but if you'll turn, hold your place there and turn to John 20. Now, in between where we were in Luke 24 and here, the women had left and told the disciples. Of course, they didn't believe. But Simon Peter and John come to the sepulchre. Now, in verse number 11, Mary, and I wonder if she was the only one of the women that stayed behind, the disciples are going to leave. Or I wonder if the Spirit of God specifically referred to her in this chapter. John, having such a tender heart, and he saw that in Mary due to what the Lord had done for her. But Mary stood without weeping, and she looked in verse number 11 into the sepulchre. Verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Now, I don't know why they asked that question. I don't know if they knew why she was weeping. This I know, that they could not realize the close union of her heart with Christ. And angels are always desirous to look into things going on in the lives of the children of God. Woman, why are you weeping? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. Now in verse number 15, the Lord Jesus appeared to her, and he asked her the same question. Of course, he knows, so he didn't ask to get information. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And that might be a good question for you and for me this morning. It was for me this morning. Who are you seeking today? what? Will you be satisfied to have just come out to the house of God and pacified a conscience? Or you come seeking Him? When I get up in the morning, am I seeking Him? What's my purpose of reading the Scriptures? Is it a religious duty that I feel obligated to do? Why do I pray? Well, some things are pressing, but overall, why? Is it because I am seeking Him? Every morning, for all of us thus far, it is a new day and beginning after the darkness of night and unconsciousness due to sleep. And then we begin to get a little mentally alert and we begin our pursuit. In that pursuit, are we seeking the Lord? If we are not seeking Him, then we are seeking our lords. Whatever holds your heart, and whatever's got you bound for that day. And I'm certain, and nothing wrong in this, that you get up and probably some of the first things that cross your mind is the duties of the day. And you've got to get this done and that done. Well, that's all right. That's human nature. But can you get quiet long enough before you head off to get done what's needful in that day? Do you have, I can only say a few minutes. Will you take a few minutes? And begin seeking the Lord. When the old Puritan said, I've got so much to do in a day that I need at least 4 hours of prayer before I get started. Now that's nigh unto impossible in our day due to a lack of the Spirit of God. Mary would condemn us. She had a purpose for going to the tomb. Go and tell the disciples. Going back to the tomb. And waiting there. Now you go through 6 days. And you have your work. But the seventh day ought to bring a greater anticipation, or the first day of the week for the children of God that we take off ought to bring a greater anticipation due to the Lord's promise. There I will meet with thee. Where two or three are gathered together, I'll be with you. Now you can have that at home, but there's just something special about the people of God gathering together on the Lord's Day. And the near and dearness of the Church of the Living God to Christ, her head. So he's looking for the place where there are a group of people. Well, there are people that come out with the sole purpose of seeking the Lord. That might even be a better title for today than He is not here. Because if I thought that He would not be here, you need not look for me. I wouldn't make an effort. But because of His promise, in my expectation, I continue to be with you. Now, what was it that caused those women to look beyond all obstacles that they would face getting out? And it seemed as if that nothing could hinder. They didn't look at what they might face. Their heart just pointed them towards the direction of the sepulchre, and they had two days before this day, prepared all the spices and had rested on the Sabbath day, waiting for the dawning of another day. So they're facing darkness. If you read one of the gospel writers said, when it was yet dark. One of them said that the disciples, the males, one that ought to have been the stronger, they were hiding for fear of the Jews. Not these women. They would be facing guards that had been posted at the tomb, and be facing a sepulchre that had a stone rolled up to its mouth and had sealed it. But they never considered anything of what they might face. Their heart directed them there, because the one that held their heart was in that tomb. I think it was George Matheson, the old preacher and hymn writer, wrote one on "Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go. I rest my weary soul in Thee. I give Thee back the life I owe, that in Thine ocean depths its flow might richer, fuller be." And near the front of our hymn book, there is "Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, hath won my affections and bound my soul fast." Are we somewhat hypocritical in singing that? I'm not talking about a church. I'm asking you as an individual. Has the grace of God that was brought to us through the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord Jesus, has that free grace of God won our affections and bound our souls by? It had the women. It had Mary. She did leave, but it was to go tell the disciples, "Our Lord's not there." But she returned to the tomb, because His free grace had won her affections and bound her soul fast. That mother had that little one following her around, and she's waited on for 5 years. And over the years, from birth to 5 years old, the love has grown and developed. And then comes that day that little one's got to go to kindergarten. And she puts him on the bus, or if she lives near the school, she drives him down to the school. She comes back home and weeps all day. Or she might try to hide it, and does hide it. But she waits that day anxiously for that bus to pull back, stop in front of her house, and let that little fella off. Because he has her heart. And she anxiously awaits. Misses him. Been there for 5 years. has taken care of him, waited on him, looked after him, held him when he was sick. And she would gladly have bore his sickness rather than seeing him suffer. But he departs. And it breaks her heart. But as the clock ticks through the day and the minute hand gets close to when it's time for the bus, she anxiously awaits because he has her heart. That's Mary. Our Lord Jesus said, her sins, which are many, Luke 7:47, are forgiven. For she loveth much. Much there means great or large. But to whom little is forgiven, that person loves little. And this woman got up when it was dark, traveled not looking at any obstacle that might be in her way, had had seven devils cast out of her. Now the disciples loved Jesus Christ. When he asked, will you go away? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They loved him. But in comparison, you put the disciples here and Mary here, and they had not been forgiven as much as she had. And there's no comparison of the love between the disciples and Mary. They loved little. The word there, small, few things. Now back to Luke 24. The women looking at angels, verse 4, in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they turned away. Wouldn't that captivate us? I mean, if you could see a literal angel in their brilliant, shining garment, wouldn't that capture your mind? And you couldn't take your eyes away. They turned from the heavenly creatures, their brilliance, and bowed down their faces to the earth. Now you may be thinking, well, they bowed because of fear or because of knowing that these were heavenly, holy creatures. But look beyond that. If that had been the reason, then they would have been as the angel was to John, don't worship me. They bowed down their faces to the earth. And then the question asked to the ladies gives reason that they bowed down their head. Why seek you the living? You're looking down where he was buried. He's not there. He's risen. And they're beginning to get in their hearts the words of Christ brought back with reality and significance and meaning. There's so how many are satisfied with the relics of Christianity? Oh, if we could go over there to the tomb, or see the birthplace, or the Mount of Transfiguration, or walk down by the seaside of Galilee, go to Golgotha. Wouldn't that capture our attention? If someone offered and said, we'll pay your cost, getting there, getting home, living while there, just go visit those places, I'd say no. But if you got that extra, I'd like to get away in some solitary place, just the Lord and me, and I can find out more about the tomb and the Mount of Transfiguration, and more about Golgotha, and more about the places that the Lord traveled, just being alone with Him. That's all I need. I don't need to see the tomb. I know about the tomb. It's empty. Nothing there for me. Or walk up on the mount where Christ led the disciples out and said, okay, here's as far as you can go. Now you go back and tarry in Jerusalem. That would hold nothing for me. But along with Him, I have all these things. But folks, haven't we substituted form and tradition for the Lord Jesus? Aren't we just satisfied in reading our Bibles and saying our little prayers and going out to the house of God? Oh, they brought spices. And should not there this day, and sometimes in your closet, flow from your heart a fragrance of thanksgiving? And you might on your knees be unto the Lord, as was that sweet smell when Noah offered up those sacrifices. Shouldn't that flow from our hearts? He's not dead. He's living. I know that He's living, not because I read it in a book, the book, inspired Scripture. I know because I walk with Him from time to time. I communicate with Him. I know that He is alive. Shouldn't there flow that thanksgiving that God in grace, abounding grace, delivered me or is in the process of delivering me? Surely I should have spices within for my Lord. Turn with me to Revelation 20, if you would. And I don't want to get into anything other than this verse and its relevance and significance to us today. Revelation 20, verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now I don't want you caught up in the 1,000 years. I don't want you, as we've been brought since late 1800s into a dispensational view of scriptures. And this Revelation 20 has to do with the rapture. When Christ comes back to gather the church, then blessed and holy is he that hath part in that first resurrection. That's nothing to do with this. Nothing. Are we going to be kings and priests only after the rapture of the church, which there is no such thing? When he comes, it's over. We are unto God kings and priests now. That's stated in the book. Not going to be one day. The first resurrection has to do with your salvation. If Christ rose, and he did, all his children, all of them, rose and are now seated in heavenly places. Now, I didn't know anything about that for a good while. Knew nothing of my getting up that first day of the week and ascending to glory or ascending to heavenly place. Didn't know anything about it. Or a resurrected Savior. But then I found out Romans 6:4, buried with him by baptism into death, when the law of God by the Spirit slew me. Then like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we were raised into newness of life. Now that came about in time. That's the resurrection. The children of God that rose when Christ rose, we were in him. Rose when he rose, then they must be brought into experience of that resurrection. That's what Revelation 26 is talking about. You're blessed and you're being made holy that has had part in the first resurrection. That's in life here. Having been forgiven, our lives now are away from old things, and behold, all things are becoming new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you being a new creature or creation in God. God birthed you. God raised you from the dead because the head of the church rose. Now, I don't know if this is still there. Possibly it is not. But one of the old historians of France, centuries ago, wrote this. In the archives of France were the taxes of the department of the village where Joan of Arc was born and grew up. There's written in that archive over everybody's supposedly taxes, written the sentence of remission. And where they owed taxes, there was this: free for the maid's sake. She gave her life for her country. And that little village, no way I'm going to try to pronounce it, that little village was free for a long time of ever having to pay any taxes because of her birth. She died for a country and she freed them from taxes. Well, I've got one better. For every believer's debt now is written over the archives of that that we owe to God. Free for the Savior's sake. Now pardon, we walk in newness of life. But to do that, I must be brought into the reality of His resurrection. He's not here, ladies. Why are you seeking living among the dead? He's risen. Therefore, His... Christian world, professing Christian world, gathers today to celebrate. This is one of 2 days that the majority go, this and Christmas. But His resurrection is not a historical event or a celebration we recognize once every year. Every Lord's Day that comes around, being the first day of the week, I am brought into Christ rose from the dead. And one of the other old writers, this was one of the great theologians, he said the determination of God to save men is not so fixed as to save them, be their character what it may. He saves. He resurrects men and women. Back to the old theologian, Christ's work is a salvation from sin, not in sin. Chosen in Him that we should be holy. That is, in my conversation, speech, manner of living, actions, way I behave myself in public. And a child of God doesn't have to become something different when he steps out of his house, out into public. He just what he was all alone. Many that go by the name of a Christian do not serve a risen living Christ. And what they call prayer is only a conversation with, they don't even know what. It's something they call God. But the children being raised in Him, then brought to that realization in salvation, a new creature, they know the one to whom they are speaking. The children are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ. I would tell you 2 Corinthians 3:3, it's somewhere nearby if it's not there. Paul said there, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. A living epistle, written, not in ink, but by the Spirit of God. And folks, some people's lives are so crowded out that all you read is them here. Are you an epistle read and known of all men? One last, Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. If ye then be risen, The Pope, the if is there, because Paul couldn't be certain about anybody. No more than you can be 100% certain 100% of the time that you are a child of God. It just doesn't happen. You go through doubts. And in your wars. And inward struggles and fears. You wonder. So the if's there for me. If I am risen. Paul had seen a lot of people that gave the appearance of being raised. But he'd seen a lot walk away. So he begins this with an if. I don't know fully about you. You've given good evidence for a good number of years, but so did Demas and others. They walked away. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If ye are risen, then your life will manifest what secretly took place within from time to time. That's why there's an if in me, if I'm raised. Lord, if I am yours, why these doubts? Why the questioning of my salvation? If I am yours, why these fears and inner turmoil? But from time to time, the if is removed. And we know we've been raised with Christ. And what took place in that resurrection will manifest itself within your heart. Paul writes of those having a form of godliness, but denying the power. They just talk good talk, but there's not any power in their lives. From such turn away. Sin has captured them. They can't get free from the bondage of sin. Paul said, those are the ones you do not need to be accompanying yourself or fellowshipping with. Well, the resurrection. Was there anybody there that morning? Was there anyone? It was a secret, private affair. The Father witnessed it. Probably the heavenly host witnessed it. The Father knew, but the angels didn't know what took place. It is your resurrection. It's a private, secretive work of God in your soul. You can't explain fully to anyone, but it will be evidenced in the way you live. Now, there were people present when Lazarus came out of the tomb. But there was no one that witnessed his resurrection. No one. But his resurrection was evidenced when he came out. And then what's supposed to be the church was given that. Loose him and let him go. Unlike religion today, which is just a little picture of what's taking place in our government, religion likes to keep folks bound up in bondage. Same thing that your government is headed to do for all of us. Make us dependent and in bondage to them. Preachers like people under their control and in bondage. Now in society, government wants you tell you what you can say, what you can read, how you can live, and what you've got to do. And they're taking away the rights of the parents because everybody belongs to the government. Well, anyway, instead of loosening people, the true church, professing Christianity, just wants to keep them bound up and control them. Well, think back to that morning. We'll say that this was the exact day. Nobody knows, but we'll just say that for a moment. This was the exact day, 2,000 and something years ago, that Christ rose. Now go back there to that morning, and the world still clothed in darkness, those women head out. And before they get there, Jesus Christ has already risen from the dead. Only the Father, possibly angels, witnessed. And then there were those that were in the graves that soon realized, because the graves were opened and many came out. Can you explain to me what took place with the reunion of the Spirit of Christ into the body of Christ? So they were separated. On the cross, our Lord said, "Father, into thy hands I commend. I commit the keeping of my spirit to thee." Now, people heard at Calvary when he did that, but they didn't know. But the union of that spirit back in his body was complete secrecy. Just our Lord. And that being one of the things not revealed to us, we'll leave it there and won't ponder. But soon after the resurrection, soon after the union of the Spirit of Christ back into the body of Christ, and he rose from that grave, Mary and the women, later on that day, the disciples, Later on, over 500 brethren, and last of all, Saul, as one born out of due season, witnessed the resurrection. But you and I witnessed that personally when God raised us from sin and death and began clothing us in a heavenly garment, that of the righteousness of His Son. He said to His disciples, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me. The reason you see me is because I live. And because I live, you shall live also. Now that seeing and that living is a lifelong process of the children of God viewing a resurrected Christ. And the significance and relevance of that morning becomes or is witnessed in our soul when the same thing happens to us. Not as Christ's spirit reuniting with His body, but the same thing happens when God raises us, rolls away the stone, and begins removing old grave clothes, now that you might walk in newness of life. May the Lord add His blessings and grant you. A hearing and lasting effects, and we're down the road. He'll bring it back in practical application.